Stay tuned for Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis.
Maybe.
are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. And on today's program, we're going to speak, hopefully, with each other. But I wanted to start on a high note because I see transformation in the horizon. It still may be a long time coming, but when I can stomach the news, I will say, when I start looking in at what's going on in our world, I realize that no one is really being fooled. Most of us, certainly listening to this radio station, this network, can see what's happening and the levels of activity and controls and manipulation that are taking place in our outer world. But no one is being fooled. And I think that that's a very empowering place to be in, that as we look back over the last years, well, you can go back as far as you like, but if we only go back a few, half dozen to two, we can see how the narratives have come out and asserted certain points of view and then fallen back and then supplanted by the next narrative, you know, creating all kinds of excitement and chaos and fear amongst the population. And then when that begins to erode, another narrative comes out to try to assert a particular perspective or point of view. But no one is being fooled, not really. And I think it becomes a measure of how much attention you want to give to it, what steps you might want to take in your own life in terms of what moves, what responses, how and whether or not to engage. But no one is really being fooled, I don't think. Some people, those who are being fooled, are largely engaging in the greater delusion that is taking place in our public discourse and latching on to it as if their life depended on it, and being willing to engage as soldiers or advocates for whatever that world narrative might be in order to prevent the truth from coming out and from other considerations from coming out into the world. And one of the things that happens, certainly in our current day and age, is this interpersonal warfare that takes place primarily on social media, but also in private conversations where families are discoursing against each other. Institutions are bringing forth all kinds of mechanisms of control to try and coerce people to cooperate, to comply. And I'm not mentioning any subjects in particular, because you could pick any one. It's really not about the narrative that I wanted to think about today, but on how we go about asserting our own sovereignty, our own definition, our own course in life, with or without the consensus. And I think more and more people really do need to chart our own path rather than living according to the greater consensus and starting to beat the drums of war, wherever that war may be. It could be the war in Ukraine, the rumblings and bombings taking place in the East. It could be the attacks on our own citizens, such as what's happening with many of the stand-up organizations within the many communities. And I have to wonder now how long it will be before Chinese Americans will begin to fall victim to this kind of narrative that gets woven in order to silence people from telling the truth. When we look at what happened with the Russian population over that conflict in Ukraine, every Russian citizen became an enemy of the, I won't say the state, but the status quo. And so it's just a huge game. And we really need to, or at least my hope is that we will individually pull out of that game and begin to examine the many sources of information that we can gather and understand the game that's being played, the mind control that is being played against the citizenry of the world, really, but this country in particular I'm speaking of. And I remember reading a report where the, was it the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, I don't remember the alphabet organization, but they have been keeping eye on not just the politics of the world in order to maintain that economic control, hegemony over all countries and all populations, but also it's been equally done within the borders of the United States and within borders of countries, training insurgents and putting forth propaganda to control people's mind. And I'm convinced the only real solution to this is that we reclaim our sovereign mental state and our sovereign being by understanding two things. One, it's a lie. It's always a lie. It's always an exaggeration. There's always a mistruth and manipulation in what we hear and what we see. And the other thing that we can say is these powerful so-called players don't care about us. And just like I've heard the expression that the war in Ukraine is being fought to the last Ukrainian, and that's proving to be something close to the truth, we're no different. I think Americans sometimes have the illusion that we're somehow above all the suffering that goes on in the world and that might be created in countries as a result of American power plays in countries around the world. But we've been the same victims, one might say, to these same power games. The only difference is around the world we see more explosions, more bombs, more direct contact, while here in America we're more like frogs in a slow boiling water, so that we have not noticed the dial being turned up on our internal American so-called United States civilization. But it appears that we are at a boiling point. They come and go. We're at another boiling point when there's a lot of organized aggression and undermining of civil liberties, human rights, and constitutional rights here in the United States. And people very often, sycophants or those people who feel some level of empowerment based on attaching, or maybe just completely delusional, become the street fighters for this manipulation and work towards silencing those who have opposing views. And, you know, it's a problem. I don't think it's necessary to engage directly. I'm more thinking in terms of coming to a personal understanding of one's sovereignty. We don't have to fight these alleged enemies to be able to stand within our own strength of being. And that's what I am encouraging that we do at this juncture, is to really understand the strength of whom we are as being. And I distracted myself a while back. I started talking about the FBI and the NSA and the CIA and all these secret organizations, the NASA, and all these organizations have been engaged in this psychological warfare for many generations. In fact, I forget the guy's name, something Vernays, I think was his name, but he was the brother of Freud, came to the United States and began to work with the advertising industry on how to use psychology to manipulate the minds of the people on behalf of profit, in order to build profit for these organizations. And ever since, what was it, in the 1913s or something like that, when the International Monetary Fund and all these banking organizations started, that the economics of the United States was usurped. There was a time when there were no real taxes here in this country, and around the 1900s is really when all of this started to change, I believe. And then following the war, of course, remember Eisenhower talking about beware the military-industrial complex. And then we have to understand that after World War II, that our government and our space agencies and our research agencies took in a lot of Nazi scientists, literal Nazi scientists from the war, keeping them from having to face any war crime prosecution, and brought them into our government and began to internalize a lot of those understandings. And, you know, when you add to that, where did the so-called Nazis of Nazi Germany get their philosophy? They actually got it from the U.S. And in terms of how to genocide people and how to control people and how to oppress people, they got their playbook from the United States. So I think that we have to understand that all of this insanity is playing itself out, perhaps to its conclusion. I don't know. We hear a lot of talk about reset, and what does that mean? Okay, getting back to the CIA, NSA, and all that stuff. Well, one of the things that the Nazis were very clear about was advanced science, advanced technology, they actually had flying saucers. They actually had really, really amazing technology in Nazi Germany at the time. And they were also very much into esoteric teachings, understanding the principles that were in many ways taken out of the old world of ancient Egypt, ancient Mesopotamia, a lot of powerful understanding of how to manipulate energy and how to read the stars, how to understand human technology and energetic technology. So all of this information was taken into the secret coffers of the various organizations within our country, certainly, probably in most countries. They have this information which they know, like we're getting the leaks of, oh yeah, well, we've been dealing with UFOs for decades. after denying that that was happening, or extraterrestrial unidentified objects, all these things. But that's not all that they know. They have the science that Nikola Tesla had. They have a lot of the science back engineered from what the ancient world had. And all of this has been kept secret from our current population. So I believe that rather than having seen a natural evolution of humanity over the last at least 200 years, probably more, we've seen a devolution of humanity. We are nothing as powerful as we are capable of and as may have existed in the ancient worlds. And this is pre-diluvian ancient worlds, and where many of these megaliths were built and where people had this amazing technology and understanding. So I believe that our governments have a lot of this technology, and they have been using the technology in advancing stages along with the psychological manipulation in order to control the minds of the populations of all countries. But here in the United States, we're at that juncture where they want to take down any remnant of independence and sovereignty within the American or the United States population. So I believe that's where we are. And the only way, however, that that can be done is if we continue to fail and realize how much power we have within ourselves, and that the human technology is really the greatest technology. And the difference being that we've been dealing with manipulation and distortion of technology, human technology, human understanding. And the way for us to become free of that is to invest ourselves in understanding the human technology, the human cosmogony, in the human spectrum, to understand the fullness of what we're capable of had we not been dumbed down, and to begin the progression back to our fullness, the understanding of our fullness. And we're working within a cycle, a cosmic cycle. So when they're talking about the reset, they understand that this is being done locally by human beings in a destructive way in order to counter a more cosmic cycle that we hear about in the Vedas or in the calendars of ancient civilization, the Maya, Aztec, the Dogon people of Africa, and all of these many civilizations that could tell you when these cosmic transformations occur. And I think that that's what we've been dealing with. We've been on this spectrum where the change occurs. And I remember speaking with Jose Magana. He is an Aztec Toltec wisdom keeper, and he was talking about that we're talking about like a 5-10 year period where the cosmic transformation occurs, and civilization naturally engages in a reset. And I believe that that's what's happening and has been happening on our world. And I think that that reset has a lot to do with the earth changes that we see as well. And the earth itself is kicking up a storm. It's not happy with what's going on with its inhabitants, human inhabitants as we currently exist, and is ratcheting up the changes that we're going to see in the earth changes. Yes, I do believe there is human manifested pollution and wounding and of the earth. That is true. But the earth, I believe, and I consider to be also, like we human beings, a conscious facet of the cosmos, and is preparing itself, preparing for a turnover. You know, when you see forests burning, it's happening over a from a collaboration of events, including the changing in the water cycles, changing in the wind cycles, changing in rain and precipitation cycles, and also based on poor management of the areas. But if the forest burned down, for the earth it's a little bit like cutting its hair. The earth can grow new forests. If the oceans and rivers flow over their banks and bury civilizations, they will just come into alignment with new pathways, and there will still be oceans and rivers. And we can look at underwater archaeology and see how many civilizations are in the bottoms of our oceans to know that this process has occurred many times over on this planetary system. So we've got a lot of narratives in place that are there to disguise the transformative process that is being undergone at this moment on a planetary level. And if you hearken back to what is referred to as the Atlantean civilization, I mean, that's a modern term for what was a early civilization on the planet. And whatever stories we make around it, they came down during one of these shifting periods where the earth moved to the extent that civilizations were sunk under the water, sunk under the ground. But what the so-called Atlanteans understood is that they needed to prepare for the repropagation of the planet. So what they did is when during that time you had levels of civilization where some was very, very advanced and others were not as advanced in the same way with technology, but they had earth science, earth understanding. And so there was a way in which the earth keepers, like the Aboriginal people of Australia would call themselves, as caretakers of the earth, and many of the indigenous tribes were the caretakers of the earth and understood how to be in harmony with the earth. And the so-called Atlantean civilization existing at the same time, was more technologically advanced. So there was a transfer of information between, so when the earth began to collapse, the civilizations that were being destructive, which I presume the Atlantean civilization was on some level, they began to, this is my belief, that they began to pass their knowledge on to some of the more Aboriginal peoples and began to teach them some of that technology. And there was an infusion of some of these surviving groups that after the high technology fell, those of less technology were just operating with their human instruments, were able to fuse some of that information to begin rebuilding society, which is the kind of history that we're somewhat familiar with. You know, the ancient Egyptians, Africans, and such. And I see a call coming in. I don't know what you're calling about, but hello? Are you there? Hello? No. So if you want to call in, the number is 212-209-2877. You're welcome to call in. So there's this natural cycle that goes for several hundred thousand years before the earth turns over its inhabitants and starts anew. And I believe waiting for a civilization that is capable of carrying forward the true human manifestation as it's meant to be. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Catherine. It's Russ.
Hi, Russ.
Hey. You know, when you said nobody's fooled, that was very encouraging. But then, you know, I sort of thought back, there are some things where people are fooled. I mean, WBAI was fooled by this whole vaccine propaganda. Many people were, thanks to you and Gary and a few others. We got some truth. But, you know, that jingle that they had, like, go down and get your vax. And so people are fooled. I'd like to ask you about this January 6th insurrection of fear. You know, Pelosi going to Taiwan, this brinksmanship, just tells me she's perfectly capable of staging a Reichstag incident at the Capitol on January 6th. And, of course, that's what Bob Fass said. So I'd like to know, do you think people are fooled by the January 6th insurrection talk?
You know, I can't say that there isn't anybody who isn't fooled, because obviously there are. I think that more, though, if you think in terms of the regular population, what happens is that people become engulfed by fear, and they're acting according to that reactive behavior, that fear-based behavior, that instinctive need to be safe, which is a different state in terms of what I'm speaking of in terms of being fooled. I think that there's a lot of people whose expression have been suppressed, and we're not fooled. I think that there are people who have allowed themselves to be co-opted by the narrative because it sustains them on an economic level, a power-based level. They want to stay in the game. They want to be players. So they sell the rest of us out. I think a lot of the media does that.
A lot of people benefit on a psychological level. Like you said, Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're surrounded by this. You know, I'm a skeptic about the vaccine, but I constantly ask myself, gee, is that a COVID-19 symptom? So I'm pulled into it, too. But I really think you're great. You know, Berthold said that I fancy myself a right-wing progressive, you know, because I do bring these things up. But I appreciate you letting me have a voice on your show, and I really enjoy. Is it all right if some of us call you Kitty? I hear your friends call you Kitty.
Yeah, all right, thanks a lot, Catherine. Yeah, you can respectfully nickname me. That's fine.
Absolutely. With respect, always, Catherine.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's, you know, that's really important to consider these things. There are all these different states of mind that we get driven into psychologically that help to cooperate with the co-option of what would be a transfer of power, a transfer of understanding, a transfer of a new order, a fresh way of being. So it isn't so. In essence, what I'm saying is that we have reached a level of human evolutionary capacity to be able to plug into so many more dimensional levels of our being that we don't need the so-called Atlantean civilization to translate their technology into our civilization, but we can go internally and make those connections because we are innately connected to powerful resources on an energetic level, on a psychological level, that will help us break through the programming. And as our friend Russ was saying about these vacations, some people are calling them, I believe that that's what they're about. They're about cutting off and splitting off our innate capacity to have higher levels of communication to our non-physical being. So we have a physical being, we have a non-physical being. We can connect through our senses and through our inner technology to dimensions, which allows us to connect with other beings in other dimensions. We can connect through our internal DNA because the DNA comes from our ancestral path. Well, that's a living DNA, and we can connect with that inheritance that comes to us through our ancestors. And we've been, because of the change in the cosmos, we've reached or approaching that era where we can connect all of these dots, connect all this information. So if you look and ask science, they'll tell you, oh, you have, you know, you use 10% of your brain and the rest is junk DNA. Well, it's not junk DNA. It's DNA that connects you to all of these innate resources that are meant to be human. The fullness of what it means to be a human being, which means we have a physical vehicle that was designed perfectly and works perfectly. We have a brain that can connect all of this together. We have a higher dimensional existence in which we can see beyond the third dimension and understand different connections. We can connect to understand the language of the spheres of our own planetary body, of whatever those planets are in the sky, whether they're stars or planets. Everything in existence is information and consciousness. And however it came to be that the human race has been isolated from that, I don't know for sure what that history is. We've got a lot of glimpses of it. But as we exist on this planet right now, we're completely cut off from the fullness of what is our inheritance, our full inheritance. And what's happening in our world, all the chaos, all the viruses that are made in labs, all the medications and, you know, drugging and hypnotizing and the TV, all of that is about preventing humanity from reaching its fullness. I see a call coming. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, I missed that call. Sorry, call back. Yeah, the number is 212-209-2877. So I think that we're in such a state that there isn't very much we can do about the chaos and the nonsense and the bombings and the manipulations and the programming and the, all the things that are being done in an effort to sequester and squelch the true power within the human being. The human race, it is the only race that is meant to be flourishing on this planet. I'm not saying there aren't other races here. They're not human. But for the human race, we're not different. Just like flowers are flowers, whether it's a rose or a geranium, it's a flower. They have different colors, but they're flowers. Human beings are like that. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, did you want to comment or question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, I just want to tell you, Kathy, I listen to you every Friday, and this is your best program. I just wanted to comment.
Oh, thank you.
This is your best program. It's very spiritual and flowing. It's just like a really good energy. I mean, you have good programs, but this is, I've been listening to you for years. This is the best program, and I just wanted to commend you for it.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I see a call coming in. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, speak up.
As always, I enjoy your program. You have very good programs. But dialogue is always powerful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's always a powerful entity. It's something for us to share what's happening within ourselves to the outside environment and each other. So perhaps that's what that sister is speaking about that just spoke before. Your programs are always really excellent. But you're one of the few producers that really want to hear the voice, want to hear each other's voices.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a Russell speak. He sounds like a really nice man, and I've always taken him as such. I've heard him on the radio several times. Never had a difficulty with him. There should be no reason why anyone would want to block him from being able to express himself. He's always pleasant and doesn't use untoward language or anything of that nature. And I just wanted to say that I become concerned. I was at the report to the listener. Actually, it should be as one of the cab members that report to and from the listener, because it is a dialogue between the executive branch and WBAI and the listeners. But when he was saying that there are times when listeners should not be able, might not be able to be heard based on
speak up.
What the producer thinks about. I always think about this gentleman named Monroe. I've listened to the radio, this program, this station for quite a while, and there was a gentleman named Monroe who would call up, and sometimes he made sense, sometimes he didn't. But
I loved Monroe. I actually had him as a guest once. Yeah, he passed away, but yeah.
Yes, I realize that. But I see now that based on what Berta was saying, we're creating an environment where the listener's voice is not, may not be as accepted as it did previously, and there's no reason for that, none whatsoever. I had said that at the activity for the report to the listener, and I would like that other. I want to suggest that other people express that if that is what they feel. Mm-hmm. One of the ways to do that is to participate in the community advisory board. I started participating in that board because I want the community and the radio station to mesh together in order to serve, you know, our...
And that's the way it used to be. When I first became part of the radio station, there were community forums all over the place in schools and, you know, there was a lot of engagement. And I believe that part of why the radio station is struggling to survive is because we've lost that engagement. Because people were so serious about keeping WBAI alive. I remember after we were off the air for a time over some political discourse, and when everybody came back, listeners came in, they brought money, they brought furniture, they brought anything they thought we could need, food, whatever it was. There was a huge community of support because it was, the engagement was there. And I'm from that old school where I think it's really important because I'm just a person like you. We're not different than each other. And we all have a role to play. And WBAI doesn't belong to me, the producer, or anyone else. It really is a radio station that belongs to the people. And our job is to serve the best interest of those who are our supporters, our listeners, but also of our civilization.
Yes.
A lot of what has been reported and covered and taught over the years is real truth. What is the real history of this country? What is really underlying the engagement that this politic is doing around the world? And we've lost that thread. So I'm one of the threads still hanging on, and hopefully we'll get it back.
Yes, we cannot lose this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm hoping. And, you know, with that in mind, folks can call in and be a BAI buddy, 212-209-2950. Call that pledge line or go to the towerfund.wbai.org, make a donation there. You can go to the website, give to wbai.org, and donate as little or as much as you're able within your means and help keep the station alive. And what was the place you said people can go to engage with the cab?
It's the third Sunday of each month at 1 o'clock. They do an announcement, a public announcement, so people can participate and give their opinions. We must bring back the wealth, that the true wealth that WBAI had, which is the listeners, the volunteers. We have to find a creative way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the cab is really about, kind of brainstorming and creating different ways for us to generate wealth so that we can continue, whether we have so we can access the creativity that and the wealth that we have in the environment.
And talent.
And
I mean, amazing talent. I mean, I can remember when I was actually working here, you know, as a staff person. And I would reach out to the listeners, and every time volunteers would come in to help with whatever needed to be done, people cared. I think they still do, but that environment needs to be regenerated and rebirthed. It's been difficult. It's been difficult after the COVID. What's that?
Very, very quick. Even though, like, you do Tai Chi and you give classes, if you can create an environment, the Prospect Park, if you could do something like that again, we are all intermingling for all kind of nonsensical reasons, to get new shoes, to buy stuff, you know, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're able to, perhaps to do a Tai Chi class in Prospect Park, or one of the parks where it's airy and people can feel comfortable. We're doing that anyway.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to do it. The thing is that people don't come. You know, I've done it, and you know, so it needs to be some kind of cooperation where there's enough of us to at least keep it going. I'm happy to do it.
Okay, very good. When you announce it, I'll figure out how we can do that as well. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. So we have calls coming in, and we're running short of time. I'm going to take as many as possible. We're going to continue this conversation, though, because we need to reignite our human power to reengage our proper evolutionary place. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I want to remind the audience that when you're listening with Heart of Mind, every Kathy Davis program is the best one you're listening to.
Oh, thank you.
And I also would like to share.
Mm-hmm.
When we love, it is always morning somewhere, and we grope in the long and short nights, knowing that eventually we will have to face the dawn. As we embrace this all-encompassing light, we secretly long for the shadowland. That soothing, inviting darkness where all desire is played out, unseen, heartfelt, embraced, yet unexplained. We carelessly surrender our imagination, trying to capture a reality codified and manufactured by another, crafted as a lever against freedom. That sweet darkness in which we never felt alone, fondled by the hand of God, beckons us return to all that we can imagine, a personal recognition of the sacredness of imagination beyond pages and ages. I just want to share that with your listeners because I know that their hearts are open.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. What were you reading?
Something I wrote this morning.
I suspected that was true. That's why I had to ask you.
Thank you for asking.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Okay, so we have a full board now. We'll take as many of you as I can. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question, though. Is it a good idea for a guy with a PhD in nutrition to tell lay people to go vegan and vegetarian?
Well,
knowing they're going to miss out on the essential fatty acid and essential amino acid.
I think that people can make their own decisions and do their own research, and I believe that everyone is entitled to their position. We don't have to follow it. We don't have to believe it. We have the capacity and the strength and the wherewithal to choose what our particular body needs. That's what I believe. So I don't let anyone tell me anything. I choose what I want to do, and I think that is the healthiest situation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the everyday person, though. Once they hear the letters PhD,
well, you know what? You know what? You know what? There is so much counter that in the mainstream. There are at least 100 voices telling people to do what's mainstream for every one voice that has a different idea. People can find what they need, and they'll find what they want to confirm what they think is the best for them. So I do not believe in suppressing any voice, PhD or not. Okay? Thanks. Okay, let's try to take another call. I knew who that was targeted for, so I didn't want to engage it too much. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, did you want to comment? Running short in time. Go ahead, yeah.
This is Steve in Malibu. I'll just try to make it quick. I enjoy your show very much. Thank you very much for being here on Earth, number one. I heard Russ. Russ is so special. He's got the good material, too.
Mm-hmm.
He needs his own show, I think. Everything is staged. I've got to tell you, this thing about Sandy Hook with Alex Jones. Alex Jones has so many alters. He was doing the invocation at the Biden inauguration, by the way. He's Roy Blunt. I'm just going to say it. He's got so many alters. George Washington had so many alters. History is very staged. My cousin does a podcast. He's mentioned Sandy Hook. His grandson is active. His whole family's involved in Sandy Hook. He doesn't get prosecuted. Prosecutions are fake. But I just want to say, concerning COVID-19, Coca-Cola does turn the test, the PCR test, positive. That was on NPR radio. The story disappeared. And there's no recount on any of these tests. And it's a sham. I have a doctor.
I got to run. I'm running out of time. But,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
thank you. I know.
I called so many times and I couldn't get through.
Yeah, no, I understand. And we all have a lot to say.
Thank you so much.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
Bye-bye. Okay. Everyone has a thought on these things. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah.
Kathy, yes. New listener here. I just want to say thanks. Very interesting discussion. And quickly, I wanted to touch on, you mentioned the Atlanteans, and I wanted your thoughts on this. I've heard that their downfall in some part was due to their technological prowess, the technological advancement. And is that not a cautionary tale for us today with the elite and the technocrats and the agendas pushing for the advancement of technology at an exponential scale? I want your thoughts on your opinion on all of that.
Okay, I don't have too much time to do that. I think that in all of these cases, there's a split. So just like we have the power elite who are manipulating, and you have the regular classes of people who are being manipulated, I would think that it was probably true then as well. And I think that this power game is the human conundrum, and we're not going to have a surviving civilization until we conquer that problem. So I think it's true of the Atlanteans, so-called, whomever those people were, and it's true of our civilization right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, getting down to the wire. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Hello, you're on the air. Oops. Hello? Are you there? Hello? Okay, that may have been me, but we're out of time just about. That was fun. It's always so much fun to take your calls. So we were preempted last week for a fundraiser, so that gives me 3 weeks. And hopefully I'll be able to come up with something that will encourage you to support the program, and I can do a live fundraising in that next fundraising period. That's my goal. And I want to thank you all for joining me today. And you can always email heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And stay tuned. Coming up in a short while is the Gary Null Show. And I'm going to play a little bit of music as we go into the next break. So please do stay tuned to WBAI in New York. And more than anything, I would say, please support the radio station. It's so important that you do that, because we don't have a radio station without your support. So let's see if we can play a little bit of Bob Marley. The number to call is 212-209-2950 to make your pledge.
I love you and treat you right. I wanna Cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
This is the one-minute version of Cat Radio Cafe, a salon of the arts exploring the creative bounty of New York. I'm Janet Coleman, and you are...
David Dozer.
The displaced playwright.
You know, we are asking you, the listener, to become a BAI buddy in the name of Cat Radio Cafe.
Why do we call it Cat Radio Cafe?
Well, it's named for our cat, Lulu.
Lulu is only 7. Cat Radio Cafe is older than that.
Cat Radio Cafe honors house cats who live where a radio is on and tuned to WBAI.
Hep cats.
Yes.
Do cats enjoy theater?
If it's performed by mice.
Become a BAI buddy. Tell them Lulu sent you.
This is Imhotep Gary Bird giving double thanks to WBAI listeners. For many years, you've supported my Friday show, The Global Beat Experience, and The Global Beat, where we explore the full dimension of black music and politics. And more recently, you've made my new Sunday evening program, Radio GBE Mind Flights, your gateway to the black experience, a success as well. In that spirit, I hope you show some of that same enthusiasm to some friends of mine who host a new show highlighting the people, music, and venues that made Harlem a cultural mecca. It's called The Harlem Connection. You're invited to get on board and take the journey every Friday evening with the GBE at 7, Untitled at 9, and The Harlem Connection at 10, right here on WBAI.
Untitled, produced and hosted by Malika Lee Whitney, will be heard on Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Untitled presents features on the arts, culture, education, and social issues. You will also enjoy music from a variety of genres. Special guests complement the program with insightful and engaging conversation. That's Untitled, Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. over listener-sponsored, non-commercial, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.